Let us sing together our call to worship. I love you, Lord. You will find the words on the screen. Let us stand together. Let us pray together. May what we say, what we do, how we think, how we proclaim, and how we sing and read, let all that we do today be a sweet sound in your ear. You have called us to worship you. Let us in our worship actually seek to find you. And it would not be hard to do because you seek us. And let us listen when you speak. May the joy of hearing your word spoke to us through your Holy Spirit be part of the very fiber of this morning. Now may we worship you with all that we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 144, This Is My Father's World. Let us remain standing and sing together.
Rustling grass and
and as we remain standing, page 880, the Nicene Creed. Let us unite this historic confession of the Christian faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one God, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Would ask that you would join me in a time of prayer this morning. Is there any request that you would have this morning that we would pray together as the family of God? And as we know, Mary is not here because she is not feeling well. How did the doctor's visit go for the shoulder? This week, okay. I was a week ahead. I'm sorry. I was trying to get you through that already. And so hope she feels better. Yes, pray for me. How is she? Okay, she goes, she's clear, not clear to go back to work till late in the month, right? Okay. So we'll continue praying for Brianna. And glad she's home with the baby, though. And so to be able to be with her. And so, are there others? I want to thank all of y'all who have asked about my leg. After 18 days of antibiotics, I think it's finally getting the infection out of that wound. So at least that's what Nurse Tabor says at my house. So we're going to go with what she says. And she may not be a registered nurse, but she's my home nurse. And so you know how that goes. And so anybody else?
Let's not forget our false people.
Amen.
I just have a praise. My grandson did get finally moved in.
Yay, grandson's moved in. So.
Unpacking. Yay.
There'll be another praise when unpacked is the word you use.
Yeah, they're mostly unpacked.
Okay.
They still have a ways to go.
But. Well, we've been in our house now 6+ years and we're not unpacked. but we're working on it. And so getting close. Anybody else? Prayer or praise? All right, let's pray together. As we pray, O Lord, for those who are struggling with, whether it be colds or the flu or COVID or whatever people are struggling with and working through, we ask that you would bless them, heal them, give them your strength. We pray for shoulders to be healed in a way that honors and glorifies you. We pray for mamas who are glad to be home with their children, but praying that you would lay your hands upon them and they, as she, would be well and better and strong in a way that only you can provide that strength. We thank you for being able to move in and say we're unpacked and finally feel that comfort of being in a place of home, allowing that to be part of our lives. And we pray, O Lord, for are homeless. Some are homeless by choice. Some are homeless by circumstances that give them no choice. Some are homeless in ways that we cannot imagine. Even if they have a place to live, there's still homelessness. We know there's suffering and there's struggle and there's pain in those situations, and we do not even fathom or have any understanding of those places, but we know that you know. But allow us to be the people that are part of the healing in ways that you would send us to do, in ways you would allow us to do. So bless us in our prayers for all people. May we offer blessings and may we give them, and may we do so in a way that honors and glorifies you. We do continue to pray this day for those around our world who face wars and struggles because of those wars, for those who face such terrific tragedy as in Maui and in places of earthquakes and flooding. And we ask, O Lord, that you would be with those who go to help, those who rescue or attempt to. And we ask that you would be with the United Methodist Committee on Relief as you're with the people from UMCOR and you allow them to do what they do in silence and yet make such a difference around our world. And we do continue to pray for our missionary team from our annual conference that is traveling at this time and will be back soon. Bless them in their journeys. May they be fruitful and may they be blessed. And we ask, O Lord, that you would be with the dear folks of this congregation with all their concerns. For those who are working today that would love to be here. And for those who simply could not be here because of issues in their family or simply unable to be, we ask that you would bless them. And for the one who is back with us this day who has not been able to, we ask you to bless her and give her strength. And thank you for her presence. And in all things and in all places, give us a hope and a peace that only you can give. Allow us to be open to your Spirit and allow us to be free to witness to you, about you to all who are around us. And enliven us with your grace and fill us with your hope. Now allow us this day as your children to pray the prayer you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask that you would find your hymn books, turn to page 593, or read the words on the screen to the hymn, "Here I Am, Lord." Let us stand and let us sing together. 593. Seated. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray. May the giving of this day show such love and caring for you that we give to you with all that we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Listen to God's holy word as we read, get that all back in place, from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. All right, I want y'all to listen real careful. All right, everybody here? Everybody listening? 11, 20, 21, and 22. Three little verses. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. By faith. Let's pray together. So today, O Lord, is the day that we look at our faith in the future and in death. This is that day that we pay attention to those things and that we listen to what God is giving us in them. May the Word of God, both in the Holy Scriptures and through the Word given to us by the Holy Spirit, bless us and allow us to test our faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to give you the entire 2 points of my sermon before I even do anything else. Okay, you ready? Write this down if you want to. It might change you. Here it is. 2 points. Faith in the future after our death. Let me say it to you again. Faith in the future after our death. So, how many of y'all are planning? Hey, Georgia. How many of y'all are planning on dying? Now, okay, if Jesus comes back, your plans are not going to happen, okay? Unless you get to be one of the 144,000, then you get to hang for another few years and go through that part of the tribulation. So, blessings upon you if you're part of the 144. I've always said to Mary Lynn that by my luck and in my faith, I'll sit there and she'll go up in the air and God will say, no, you get to stay for the next 10 years. And so through the tribulation periods. And I thought that would be me. That would be how that works for me. But that's okay. So all of you intent, unless Jesus come back, is to one day die, right? You with me? Okay, you're going. Okay, yeah, you're okay, everybody up here is going too. So on that happy note, by the way, death actually means what? Life. You don't get to live your eternal life in heaven until you die on this earth. Now, I'm not trying to get you a ticket for you to go today. I'm just trying to get you prepared for the fact it's going to happen. Okay? Now that I've got that set aside, who have you blessed to do the ministry you do in the church after you go? You do know it's your job to bless the people who come after you to do this ministry, right? You do know that before you die, it is your place, as in the reading of the Holy Scriptures today, to bless those who come afterwards so that they carry on the mission of God in the world and through the church. That's your job. And you say, well, God does the blessing. Well, I would go with you on that, and I know that God does bless, but in the reading in Hebrews, it's trying to get us to understand that it's our place to prepare those who come after us. We use a neat word for it called mentoring. You know, one of the more pleasurable things about being in the church and being a pastor is that if pastors do their calling right, they mentor other pastors to be after them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that pleases God. We're supposed to bring people along because one day we know, if we've got any sense at all, we know that one day we will not be standing here, that y'all will have said words over us, somebody that we've asked to will have said words over us, and I will be buried someplace with no more responsibility for this life. I was asked some time ago by one of the church leaders in our annual conference how I was doing with not being the chair of the Board of Pensions anymore. You know, one thing you have to learn to do is kind of not look as excited as you are about not being something. I don't know if you ever experienced that or not, but sometimes you want to try to look like, well, you know, I miss it, but, you know, they're doing fine, and, you know, we got good people following us, and you want to say all those good things. What you want to understand is that we've trained and worked with folks for years to have them take over these roles, and we've got great folk taking over the roles. So I can sit there and try to interfere and tell them what they ought to be doing, or I can bless them and do what? Move on. Well, people have a hard time moving on. That's why they don't give blessings. Because if you find somebody and train them and bless them, even when you watched Joseph, he finds somebody and he blesses them. And what does he do? He tells them where to put his bones. One reading said, read it back to you real quick, just so you hear this last little part of this, where it says, by faith Joseph, the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. One translation says, gave instructions about where to lay his bones. Why? Because he knew it was going to be hundreds of years before they went. He knew the Exodus was coming before everybody else had ever thought of it. What does he do? When y'all go, I often wonder if he said the next line. I want him to. I don't have no scripture for it. And when you wander around the wilderness for 40 years because you ain't got enough sense to take the promised land, and you carry my bones for 40 years around the wilderness, when you finally get there, here's where I want to be buried at. Don't bury me anywhere else, but right there. He had enough sense, enough faith, enough promise, enough compassion, and enough blessing on the people to follow him to give them blessings for 30, 50, 100, 150 years in the future, so his bone gets put where? Where they're supposed to be. See, these three scriptures are simply three people who are dying, passing on the mantle, passing on the torch. But they do more than that. They give blessings to those who are going to do it. Now, there's one thing we know about blessing somebody's going to do it after us. One thing we're absolutely sure of that always keeps us sometimes from doing it, doing the blessing, is that they're not going to do it the way we do it. And you know that since we do it perfectly, we shouldn't want anybody to do it any different than the way we do it. Amen? Because so we're in the midst of our perfection. By the way, if you're perfect, let me know. We're in the middle of our perfection and not passing on. They're passing on. I say all the time, in both the church and in community, one of the things that we have not done is mentored people to take our jobs. We're afraid to let it go. And letting go of responsibilities is an amazing thing. Marilyn and I have raised 2.5 kids. Grace is still with us, so that's the half. We have 2 adult children. They are 37 and 35. And if they listen to this, by the way, you're about to be 38 and 36, just to let you know. It's your next birthday. They are that age of child. We love them. We do. Do you know how much advice I give my children? You want to guess? None. I raised them the way I thought God wanted me to raise them. At the moment God set them free from us to go be adults, it's their job to go be adults. If they want information from me or suggestions or anything, they can ask me. They know that. I don't give out free information. Because that's called, you ready? That's called meddling. You know the last thing my kids need is me to tell them how to live their lives. They don't need me to do that. They can mess it up on their own. They really don't need me telling them how to mess it up. So when they go, now they may have left before I warned them to. They may have made choices I wish they hadn't. All those things may or may not be true. But when they go, I've got 2 choices. I can hold on to them and try to direct their lives, or I can bless them and let them go be the adults God has called them to be. Now, is letting go easy? Of course not. I know better than they know. I know how they ought to live their lives better than they know how to do it. I should be able to tell them everything, and they ought to just follow my lead all the time. Amen? Just like y'all do. Amen? Just follow everything I say. God bless. You know, the whole thing is there, and I should be able to do that. That's not how it works. I want to show you a poignant moment in Jesus' life that proves this to you. Okay? Jesus, on the night before his crucifixion, goes into a garden. He has his apostles with him, the 11 of them now at this point. The other one's coming to have him arrested, but at this point, the 11. He leaves part of them back. He takes another 3 in. They're supposed to stay awake and pray, and immediately upon him going into the area to pray away from them, they go to sleep. Good apostles. Remind me of us. And then he goes and prays, and in the midst of his prayer, he's asking the cup pass from him. At that moment, Jesus gets to say, I'm not doing this. In his own free will, in his own moment in that garden, he could say, send the angels, I'm not going there. And there's that key term we have to quote, and it's a great quote, not my will, but thine be done. If you don't hear that quote, as the precious moment that it is, not mine, but thine. One thing we forget, he had a will. He could have said no. And God gives him the will to say no at that moment. It is okay. It may have life-changing results. It may change the people around how they see us. But it is okay to say no. It was okay for him to say no. But what did he do? Not mine, but thine. And it was done not for God, but for us. See, to bless and to have faith in the blessing is to let people make their own mistakes, go their own way, do the things right or wrong with a belief that God's will, thine will be done in the end, even if it takes some time to get there. You don't even know how long he prayed in the garden. We all think we went back there, took an hour or two, hung out, did a little praying, went to this point, and then they came and got. He may have been there for hours. Or you can really get into it and figure out he was there about 3. Think about the agony of 3 hours of that kind of prayer. See, look at the point. They're blessing them, which means they've prepared them, they've trained them, they've showed them how to take care of the animals, they've showed them how to shear the sheep, they've showed them how to take care of the servants, they've showed them how to run the kingdom, they've showed them how to take care of the things they're supposed to take care of, they've watched them, and they even have faith with their bones. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but not many of us have faith in other people taking care of us the way we want to be taken care of after we're dead. In fact, if I had a dollar for every time I heard a family say, they're dead now, what does it matter what they wanted? I could have retired years ago. And then usually somebody in the family steps up and says, what matters is this is what they wanted. Whether it's what we want or not, besides the point. See, allowing blessings to be given. See, I would say to you, if you want to get rid of the job you're doing in the church, go find somebody and train them to do it. Besides that, it increases the membership. Go find people. Go, you know, interest in God is the key to finding people who will do things. And blessing them. It is such a hard thing to let go. To trust. You know, when we start talking about trust in this conversation, the first question to be asked in trust is, do you trust yourself to do the right thing? Because guess what? If you don't trust yourself, guess who you won't trust? Anybody else. See, to give a blessing means you're going to trust somebody. You're going to believe they're going to do it. You're going to trust them to move forward. I've always said I have a goal in life that doesn't seem like much of one, but I do have it. One day, I want to sit on the back row of a sanctuary and try to figure out when the preacher should have finished his sermon and sat down and shut up because it was good then. And then give advice. I figure at that point I can retire and give advice all I want to, amen, and it doesn't matter. And what I won't do that, I really isn't because I won't do that, really because I want to sit back there and support the person that's standing up in front doing the preaching and let them know we're back there supporting them. Whether we agree or not, it doesn't matter. See, it's that support. And I've learned over the years, support from another pastor for a pastor means a whole lot. Because you know you've got that person with you. Support from the members of the congregation means a lot because you know you have those people with you. But being willing to trust God in the support is learning to trust yourself, because then you have that trust and faith in God. That's your process. Well, that's what these three are doing. It's three simple scriptures. To be fair and honest, most of the time I skip these three scriptures. Why? Well, they're just blessing people. I wrote them out of the sermon series more times than I wrote them in. They were in, they were out, they were in, they were out, they were back, they were forward. It's just three people blessing. And then every time I wrote them out, guess what happened? God would say, "Don't you want to be blessed?" And I would say, "Yes, Lord." Then put them back in. That kind of discussion happened around this because there's somebody in this room, somebody that's going to hear over the internet, somebody that's listening today needs to find a way to let go and bless somebody else. It's not just letting go, but it's also blessing. I'm going to finish with this. You've heard me talk about it before, but I want to finish here. When my dear daddy was passing, I was in the room with him. He had been in a coma, came out, wanted to see the grandbabies. At that point, it was just Lindsay and Cindy. He saw them, played with them for an hour or so. They went back home, Mary Lynn took them home. I was there with him and Mom and me. And he was determined not to die in front of my mama. Wasn't going to do it. None of y'all know anybody that's stubborn like that, amen? Wasn't going to do it. Well, he kept telling her she needed to go take a nap, he'd be all right. She kept refusing. Finally, his will to stay awake and alive longer than her body would allow her to go stay awake and not sleep, he won. And she said, "I'll just go over here and lay down on those very comfortable chairs that are in the hospitals for people, you know, those really comfortable seats. Y'all been in them. I don't know where they buy them at, but they need to figure out another place." But anyway, and so they're in that comfortable place. And she went to sleep. He looked at me and says, "Mama's sleeping." I said, "Don't you hear her snoring?" She's asleep. It's not faking. No, she's asleep. "Oh, son, I've really been happy to be your father. It's been a great adventure. I love you. And I bless you in God's name to live the way God wants you to, not the way anybody else tells you to. Because that's the only life you can live in front of God." And then he said, "Tell Mom I love her and don't wake her up till the nurse comes." Yes, sir. He died. Took his last breath not 30 seconds after that and was gone. For me, it was a blessed way for him to go. Mom was mad. She's in heaven with him now, so they can hash this out on their own. Don't get me in the middle. They were there working it out, I guess. But I remember the nurse came in and pronounced him, and then I woke her up. She said, "Why didn't you wake me?" I said, "He told me not to." "You mean now you choose for the first time in your life to listen to your father?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." By the way, it was not my first time, but I understand. And then we had his funeral the way he wanted his funeral to be had. It reminded me of Joseph. I was blessed by my dear daddy. And then we took care of his bones the way they wanted them taken care of. That is what blessing and faith causes. So here's my final question to y'all this morning. Who will you bless this week? Who will you put your faith in this week? And I know God is the answer of who you put your faith in, but I'm talking, who will you trust that is human to put your faith in enough and trust them to bless them this week? Friends, there are people in this world that need, you may not think that you're that important, but there are people in this world who need your blessing. Maybe your children. Maybe your spouse. Maybe the people that live next to you or around you. And they won't even let you bless them because they don't like you. Now you can pray a blessing on them. That'll make them mad, but do it anyway. Look at the process of this. Who will you bless this week? Because all of us have a blessing to give. Let us pray together. We offer this to you this morning, O Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has blessed us with everlasting life, who gives us hope when no one else does, and yet there is a blessing waiting for us. May that blessing come from you, O Lord, and from the others around us. Open our hearts. Open our eyes to the blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn is page 399. The altar is open for those who want to come and pray. Let us stand and sing together, page 399, Take My Life and Let It Be. Thank you. And now let us go forth in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessing, giving blessings, and being blessed. May our faith allow that blessing to happen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.